So I decided to talk about this topic. It's like a survey of Shas about understanding why we learn Talmud Bavli over the Yerushalmi and why we paskin like the Bavli over the Yerushalmi. In light of many of the Gemaras that you already saw, it seems that the Bavli would be the last Gemara we should be learning between that and the Yerushalmi. And this really serves as a very good introduction for the next few days that we'll be spending on Lo Sasser topics of the Koach of Chachamim. So let's go through some of the sources. There's a lot. Some people got through most of it, some not as much. There are different styles of Shirim, different styles of Cherusas. No one should feel like this is a race. You should learn whatever you're able to learn. And hopefully we'll cover the most as much as we can during Shir and to make it as understandable as possible. So there are some very striking Gemaras throughout the Bavli, which clearly indicate that Bavli was a much more inferior place of learning Limud HaTorah than that of Eretz Yisrael. So to me, the most striking Gemara is the Gemara Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, where it puts the Talmud Bavli among the groups of people who hate each other. Shlosh Sonim Zedzeh, three groups of people hate each other. Klavim, Tarnagolim, V'chaverim. Okay, different categories, dogs, chickens, and chaverim are some type of one of the nations. And Yesh Omim Af Zonos. And then the very next thing to add on, like coupled with Zonos, is Yesh Omim Af Tamidei Chachamim Shabibavel, that they hate each other. Now, I only brought you 6-7 Gemaras, but there are more Gemaras throughout Shas, which indicate this level of the lack of Midos, the lack of Derech Eretz, which seems that the Tamidei Chachamim Bavel lacked. The Gemara further tells us Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira has an interesting life. You have many stories about Rabbi Zeira throughout the Gemara, where he does some interesting things. And his relationship with Rabbi Yirmiyah is a very interesting one. Rabbi Zeira is a very serious individual. There's a Gemara in Nida. I don't know if you guys learned Daf Yomi at all. I'm guessing you guys are probably too young to learn Daf Yomi. But there's a Gemara in Masechet Nida, which was, of course, the last Masechta that the Daf Yomi learned, where Rabbi Yirmiyah was asking very strange questions to Rabbi Zeira. And the Gemara ends up saying, impossible questions. Like if a woman gives birth to some type of animal. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yirmiyah was trying to get Rabbi Zeira to crack a smile. He was a very serious individual. So there's either Aruch HaNer or Karen Orr, one of them, who points out that that's why the Gemara Megillah Daf Zayin says, Kam Rabba v'shachat Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira wasn't very pleasant to have Purim Suda with, So he got up and he shechted him. So, of course, I'm not belittling Rabbi Zeira, of course. This is a certain personality that Rabbi Zeira had. He was very, very serious. So it's not so surprising, this next Gemara in Bava Metzia, but it's quite extreme, that when Rabbi Zeira fled from Eretz Yisrael to go to Bavel, from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, he fasted 100 fasts so that he should forget all the Gemara he learned in Bavel. Now, he accomplished a lot. He learned a lot. So imagine that, wiping away everything you've learned, like pressing reset to go learn in a different yeshiva. That's how strong he felt about the Talmud Yerushalmi, the Torah from Eretz Yisrael versus the Torah of Bavel. Then you saw the interesting Gemara in Maseches Menachos, where when Yom Kippur falls out on Erev Shabbos. So the din is, normally Matzah Yom Kippur, they would take the carbon musaf, they'd cook it, they'd roast it, and they would eat it to Matzah Yom Kippur. But when Matzah Yom Kippur is Shabbos, so you can't cook on Shabbos, so what would you do with it? So the Bavloim would eat it raw, they would eat it raw. Now, we don't eat meat raw, it's not very pleasant, but the Bavloim would eat it raw. So the Gemara explains, well, they weren't really Bavloim, they're really Alexandrium, they're really from Alexandria, Egypt. But they call Bavloim, there's a derogatory term. It was an insult to be called from Bavel. The way in Eretz Yisrael, Ben Eretz Yisrael viewed a Ben Bavel was a very negative way. So the individuals from Bavel, they were inferior. The Torah that came from Bavel was very inferior. And that's what the Gemara describes in Sanhedrin when the Pasuk in Eicha says, "B'machashakim hoshivani kimeisei olam." I placed you in the dark area like dead people, Tamud Shabavel. So after you see these Gemaras recur throughout all of Shas, why in the world do we learn Bavli over the Yerushalmi? Why do we paskin like the Bavli over the Yerushalmi? And the Gemara says further, the example, Yotze v'lavo ein shalom. When a person, when you're trying to excel, you're trying to succeed in your Limud HaTorah, so you get to a smicha, you don't want to go back to Olive Beis. And if you're forced to learn Olive Beis, there's no enjoyment from that. There's no geschmack in learning Alpes when you already advance much further than that. So the Gemara says it's if a person goes from halacha to mikra. So just learning straight psukim is not very exciting. You want to learn a pasuk and learn a Rashi and a Ramban and a Rambam and halacha lemaisa. But then you just read straight psukim. That's not fun. And if you're the Gra, that was fun. He said the Gra on his deathbed, all he wanted was a Tanakh. Because when he looked at a pasuk, he saw all the Midrashim, he saw all the Gemaras, he saw all everything. So we're not like that. When we look at the pasuk, we say, Vayomer Hashem. Vayomer Hashem is all we know. So going back from halacha, all the way back, pedaling to psukim, that's what it says, Ein Shalom. There's no peace to such a person. And the same is true, Gemara to Mishnah. You're going backwards in your growth in Limud HaTorah. And then Rabbi Yochanan says, Afilu mi Talmud la Talmud, from one Talmud to another Talmud, which is from Yushalmi, which is more advanced, to Bavli, which is very much inferior to the Yushalmi. And then Reb Zeira again, Reb Zeira the Gemara, without explaining the whole context here in Baba Basra, whereby Rabbi Zeira had first said one psak about a certain din in Yusha, and we went to Eretz Yisrael, he retracted, and he explained why I retract, because Avira da'ara Yitzel ma'achim. Because the land, the air, the atmosphere, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael makes me smarter. So we see a recurring theme within Rabbi Zeira, his Chashivas HaTorah of Eretz Yisrael. But why do you and I, why do yeshivas throughout the world, throughout history, have we learned Talmud Bavli and Paskin like the Bavli over Yusham? Now there are, of course, of exceptions. The Rambam oftentimes quotes and follows, I guess, Paskins like Yushalmi. But overall, we assume like the Bavli over the Yushalmi. Why is that? So there are three basic answers that are brought down in the Rishonim and the Acharon. Why we learn in Paskin like the Bavli over the Yushalmi, this is going to explain a lot. One psak, the most well-known, is it's, I think, made famous by Rav Chanan. Actually, we're going to be learning Divrei Sofrim, Kovet Shirim. Divrei Sofrim talks about Lo Sasser. So he quotes from the Rif, we will pass like that Bavli over the Yushalmi, because halacha kibasra. There's one of the klalim in psak halacha, we have Rav and Abaye, we have Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, how we pass in Rabbi Michaverov, Lo Michaverov, Yochanan Rab, Malacha Kirabim. So there are many different rules and principles we have throughout Shas, how to paskin. And one such rule is halacha kibasra. The later generation, the later Amora, is correct. Why is he correct? Because he was able to see all the previous generations and figure out who was correct, who was not correct. So since the Bavli historically was written after the Yushalmi, so the Bavli had a different perspective of how things were learned. And they were able to decide who was more correct than the previous generations. So it's halacha kibasra. That's the understanding of the Rif. That's why we paskin learn the Bavli over the Yushalmi. The Ritva, yeah?
Is it weird, Rashi, in terms of like the Talmud? Rashi explicitly states going from Bavli, from Yushalmi to Bavli.
Very good. It's very possible. I believe, I forgot to double check, I believe other Mefarshim explain that it's going from the Yushalmi to the Bavli, as the Bavli is the more superior Limud HaTorah. Very good. But he doesn't quote that Gemara that I'm familiar with, but that would probably be how we take that approach. Excellent. The Ritva says it was also a historical reason why we paskin like the Bavli over the Yushalmi, because he says there are different events took place throughout history. And he quotes in the Rambam, the Ritva and Yuma quotes in the Rambam as follows. That initially, in Bavel, there were a number of pogroms. And during the pogroms, it wasn't easy to sit and learn. You didn't have the yeshiva das to sit and learn properly, and to be mefalpel, and to be omel, and to learn a libud dehilchasa. They're busy running around just trying to save their lives and their family lives. So when that was taking place, it's of course not easy to learn. But after the pogrom subsided, so then historically, Bavel was a very peaceful time, a peaceful place. And therefore, they were able to learn well. And then they were able to surpass that of Yushalmi. It was just a question of historically what was taking place in Babel versus Yushalmi. But then the third approach that I'm familiar with is the Nativ, which I believe is the most inspiring approach. It's more of a drasha. It's a beautiful drasha, which is really going to give, I think, a lot of koach to the sugars we're going to be learning. It's a longer piece. I recommend you take a look in the Nativ himself in Parsha Kisi. So the whole piece there, he's talking about a Medjish. which says that the Luchos Shnios, the second Luchos, were more mechubadim, were more honorable, respectable than the Luchos Rishonos. Now the challenge with that is, well, who wrote the Luchos Rishonos, who wrote the Luchos Shnios? Of course, Luchos Rishonos were written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Etz Be'Elokim. So Etz Be'Elokim would certainly be a much higher level than Moshe Beinu is Moshe Beinu, but he's not God. So why would the Luchos Shnios be on a higher level than the Luchos Rishonos? And so in explaining this, he gets into a discussion of the Bavli versus Yerushalmi. And he says that you're right, Eina Chanami, that, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, Hayam Moel, it helps a person learn. The Avir Adar Yisrael's Machkim, Afal Pikein, even though Yerushalmi is a greater place, a greater source of Kedusha, the Talmud Bavli is greater. Because when the Gemara calls it B'machashakim Hoshivani Kimesei Olam, that Bavel is a place of darkness, a place of death, it's not L'ganai, he's Mechadish, Chas V'Shalom. It's actually a Kocho Nifla. There's a wondrous power in Bavel, L'ho'ir Halacha, to enlighten the Halacha, Afil B'machashakim, even when it's dark. Hainu B'Bavel. To be able to bring or light in a time of darkness. Chutz la'aretz, she'en ba'or, Eretz HaKodesh has no siyata d'shmaya in that same way. And to be able to push and be omel and to be osik b'Torah. So Bavel came on top. In other words, when the race started, so the Yerushalmi had a head start. The Yerushalmi is in Eretz Yisrael. It's Avira da'ar Yisrael Machim. It's a place of Kedusha. And Bavel had nothing going for it. The Shechina is in Gullus. It's dark. It's Hoshivani Machashakim Hoshivani Kemesei Olam. So in Yerushalmi they sat back and in Eretz Yisrael they learned and things came easily to them. But in Bavel they pushed and they pushed and they pushed and they were Amel and they were Osik B'Torah until finally they surpassed the Torah that emanated from Eretz Yisrael, from the Yerushalmi. And that's what he explains as the Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shnios. Luchos Shnios, Moshe Beinu was told, take two rocks and chisel, and chisel, and chisel. So Moshe did that. Kadosh Baruch Hu gets no greater nachas when Bnei Adam are able to surpass him, whatever that means, or to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to create what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. So to write the luchos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, to be mechadish Torah, there's so many svarim that speak about being mechadish your own chiddush in Torah. How about mechadish? How can I mechadish something? I'm not Rav, I'm not Abaye, I'm not Rav Yochanan, I'm not Reish Lakish, I'm not Rav Shmuel, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, I can be mechadish something? There's no greater nachas to Kadosh Baruch Hu than when you and I are mechadish our own chiddush in Torah. So Moshe Beinu was chiseling away and he was Amel B'Torah, he's mechadish, the luchos to emulate Hashem. And when in the Talmid Chacham in Bavel, they sat there chiseling away, there's no greater nachas ruach to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's true in everything, outside of learning as well. Some of you here are going to go on to work. So in Gan Eden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world. He created trees and plants and flowers. So now we're sent out to go work. So some people feel like they're a failure because they can't make it in yeshiva. They're not going to be the Rosh Yeshiva. But the understanding is that you're now emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu in creating a world that He created. You're building a garden. You're planting. You're creating people. So anything that we do in this world is really emulating what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to accomplish. So here in Limud HaTorah, the reason why Bavli is so chashiv is because the amelus of the Talmidei Chachamim that learned there and that accomplished there. That's the Lo B'Shamayim, right? The whole machlok is the Gemara B'Metzia, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua. In the end of the day, Lo B'Shamayim, it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. It's ours down here to create what's the Psak Din. We have that ability. The Chacham, not mean you per se, but man, the Rabbanim, the Bezdin, the Sanhedrin, they have the ability to create the reality down here in this world. That's what Gemara Makos, Daf Chav Beis, teaches us. Gemara Makos tells us that even though the Pasuk says there are 40 lashes that one gets, that Chav Beis, that even though the Pasuk says that the amount of Makos one gets is Arbayim, So the Chacham says 39 lashes. So the Gemara says, Yama Rava, Rava says, Kama tipshai shar inche. How stupid, silly are other people? The kaime mikame, it's a very crazy line. If you haven't seen this before, it's wild. That people, kaime mikame sefer Torah, they stand in front of a sefer Torah when it comes out. Velo kaime mikame gavarabo. But they don't stand in front of a Talmud Chacham. Now you and I would say, well, there's a big difference between the Torah and Talmud Chacham. Granted, I should stand up for the rabbi. There's no question. But to say that standing up for the Sefer Torah and not for the Gavur Rabba, that's like a negative thing? As if to say it's more important to stand for the Gavur Rabba than it is to stand for the Sefer Torah. And that's what the Gemara says. It is. Why? Because Deilu B'Sefer Torah Ksiv Arba'im. The Torah says 40 lashes. V'asu Rabbanan Batzu Chada. The Rabbanim took off one. They made it 39. They're going against the Torah. So the Gemara says, we have a greater koach than the actual Torah. We have, if you will, greater koach than the Etzbe Elokim. Now again, not, I don't need to repeat this to you, but not you and I. I'm talking about the Moshe Rabbeinus of the world, the Sanhedrins of the world, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them the right, lo b'shamayim. It's not in Shemayim. It's for us, for them, to be mechadish. And that's why the Bavli is so important. Now you have, there's no clock in here, is there? 7:20. There, okay. Something fascinating happens. There's like a superhuman Talmud Chacham from Bavel when he has a Ben Bavel who goes to Eretz Yisrael. You combine these two worlds together. The world of Eretz Yisrael is a world of Kedusha where everything comes clean and easy and smooth. And Bavel is a world of Amelus. So there's a fascinating Gemara where Rav Kahana was somehow engaged in a murder. The Gemara in Baba Kama teaches us. And then it came a certain time where his life was in danger, that the Yevanim were very makbid on Shvichas Damim, with good reason. And he was chased out of Bavel. So he went to Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Kahana was warned that he shouldn't ask any questions to Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan was known to have a koach and his ability to look at someone and kill someone with his eyes. He had a strong koach of Ayin Hara. Came from Yosef HaTzadik, actually, the Gemara says. Last week's parsha, Yid Gula Rof. That the dog is protected from the Ayin Hara. Yosef's connected, protected from the Ayin Hara. Rabbi Yochanan was protected from the Ayin Hara, but he had the koach to give an Ayin Hara. So Kana went to Eretz Yisrael, and he sat, you know, in the shir. Now, before shir, he had a conversation with Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish picked up that this guy, Rav Kana, wasn't just Stam. He was a sharp individual. So Rabbi Yochanan warned his chavrusa, his brother-in-law, Rabbi Yochanan, he whispered in his ear, there's a lion, there's an Ari who came from Bava. Look out for this guy. He's going to ask some serious questions. So Rav Kana was told, don't ask any questions. Wait 7 years before he asks questions, was it? So he sits in the class, the back of the classroom of Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan started asking, giving a shir, and no one asked any questions. He said another chiddush, no questions. And then Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, well, your Ari, you know, turned into a little fox, a little shua, like a little, you know, nothing scary anymore. So Rav Kahana took this to heart, and he said, let the 7 years of waiting be connected to seven different rows I'm sitting back here. And he started to ask questions and kashas, and he threw tore apart Rabbi Yochanan's shir entirely. And Rabbi Yochanan wanted to see who this individual was. So he had these long like eyelashes or eyebrows, he couldn't see well, so he had his attendant lift them up. And he saw Rav Kahana. Now Rav Kahana had some blemish in his lip, looked like he was always smiling. So Rabbi Yochanan saw him, and he was smiling at him, it looked like he was laughing. And Rabbi Yochanan, like, I just, stumped you in the shir. Rabbi Yochanan didn't like that. He looked at him and Rav Kahana died. Now Rav Yochanan didn't know that he died. He just looked at him and then I guess he ran off. And then the next day he came up to shir. He's like, what happened to this guy? Where'd he go? And they said, Rebbe, you killed him. So Rav Yochanan felt terrible, of course. And the next day the Gemara goes on to say he went to his burial place. And there's a big snake that was blocking this cave. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan spoke to the Achna, the snake, and says, let the Rebbe go see the Talmud, and the snake didn't move. Let the Chaver go see the Chaver, and the snake didn't move. Let the Talmud, Rabbi Yochanan the Talmud, go see the Rebbe, Rav Kahana. Maybe that's going to work. And that worked. The snake moved. And he went to, he resurrected Rav Kahana. And he had this statement, which is mentioned a few places in Shas. Dilchan Amri, Dilhunhi. Dilchan, I thought it was our Torah, but it's really yours and Bava. Talmud Bavli has surpassed the Talmud Yushalmi. The Torah that emanates from Bavel surpasses the Torah that emanates from Eretz Yisrael. So now you have a statement in the Gemara that says, really what was going on there is, when you have a combination of a Talmud, Chacham and Bavel, who goes now to Eretz Yisrael, that combination of the two working together, that creates this superhuman Talmud Chacham. And as the Shita Mekubetzes explains, because in Eretz Yisrael it was the Indian of a Melis and Pilpul, that's number 15, the Shita Mekubetzes says that, Ki b'nei Eretz Yisrael, Taveh, Ha'eretz, the Teva of the nature of the land is Messiah land, there's a Siyata Deshmaya. Because the Avir of the Eretz Yisrael is Machkim, Aval Einem Ragilim Lomod Kokach B'charifus. They don't really learn with, like, they're not fire, they're not sharp, they're not asking questions. They just sit back and learn. Things just come in very easily. But when you have a B'nai Bavel, Hahergel Messiah, and you have these, he's used to, he's accustomed to learning with fire, with energy. And then you have that go to Eretz Yisrael, that combination of the Hashkacha Pratis, the Siyata Deshmaya in Eretz Yisrael, plus the trained mind, so then that creates a superhuman Talmud Chacham. That was Rav Kahana. And the Shlach says the same idea. The Shlach says, you know, when a person in Bavel is in Mefalpel, so in Eretz Yisrael they would learn deep sodos. They would learn, you know, the Maisa Merkava, because they're able to, like, rip through Nigla very, very quickly. The Gemara came very easily. Sit back. You know, there's some guys in Shiva who just, like, run through Shas and Shulchan Aruch Hanot. They're geniuses like that. So in Eretz Yisrael, that was the atmosphere. Just run through Gemaras, and then they can easily, you know, ascend, advance to the Maisa Merkava. But in Bavel, the whole Indian was to be Mefalpel, to be Osik B'Torah, Havayos of Havayin Rava. So these are the two natures. But when the two of them come together, you have a guy who spent his whole life being Mefalpel and Gemara and Nigla and Shulchan Aruch and Lamdis and Halacha, and then he's able to advance to a high level of Sodos, the Maisa Merkava, that creates this superhuman Rav Kahana. But there's always there's development. You can't jump to the Maisa Merkava. There's certain yechidim in Eretz Yisrael who are able to do that. But the Stam person, certainly in Chutzlars, doesn't have that ability to do that. But we see the way this nature between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. Now this is going to explain a number of interesting things. Nafkamin is in Chilukim between the Yushalmi and the Bavli. In the Bavli, what's a Mishnah called? You look inside the Gemara, any Gemara. What do you call a Mishnah? How does it start? Masnisim. When you open up a Yushalmi, what's a Mishnah called in Yushalmi? What? Halacha. What's the difference? The difference is, in the Yushalmi, the Eisek HaTorah, the Amelis B'Torah, wasn't so important. It was the bottom line, halacha. I mean, they were mefalpel. They just, like, got halacha. It was very clear. Just the end. What's the result? What's the bottom line? If you look in Yushalmi, they have, like, questions and discussions, and they'll just, like, end the conversation mid-sentence. Because if it didn't have anything like halacha l'maisa, it would just, like, throw it out. Yushalmi is very halachic based. And the Bavli is a Mishnah, Lashon of a Shinantam, which means to make sharp, or the Amelus. So Bavli is all about the Amelus and the Pilpul, and the Yushalmi is all about halacha and clarity. So this idea explains some really interesting differences. We have a famous Gemara of Avodah Zarah, Rav Pinchas ben Yair, who delineates all the different levels a person needs to grow, which serves as the basis for the Messias Yisharim. So he says that the person grows from Torah Meviyah Lidei Zahiris, Zahiris Meviyah Lidei Zerizus, Zerizus Meviyah Lidei Nikias. The Yushalmi has a parallel discussion, but it is missing a key component. It doesn't have the first two levels. I'm going to just address the first Madrega. It doesn't speak about Torah. What happened to Torah Mevila de Zahiris? And Zahiris Mevila de Zerizis. He just starts, the Shami just begins. Re Pinchas ben Yar Omer, Zerizis Mevia li de Nikias. What happened to the Torah? And the answer, I believe, is because he's talking about Madregos in development. The Bavli, Limud HaTorah, the pilpul, the energy, the effort one puts in, that's a level, that's a mile of Torah, Zahiris, Zrizus. The Yerushalmi, there's no in and of Asik BaTorah. It's, what's the bottom line? What's the halacha? Give me the Shulchan Aruch. I don't need, you know, it makes a lot of sense, you know, with the Shulchan Aruch, with trying to get rid of all the Gemara, obviously not getting rid of it like the Rambam necessarily, but just what's the bottom line? You want to hear more, look in the Beis Yosef. But the Shulchan Aruch says you should learn my Shulchan Aruch Chazit every 30 days. All you need is bottom line. The Asik Batorah, I did the Asik. I went through the Rishonim, I went through the Gemaras, the Beis Yosef said, here's the Shulchan Aruch, you'll be fine. The Yerushalmi is all about Halach L'maisa, what's the bottom line? But the Indian of a Melis Batorah is not stressed at all by the Yerushalmi. It's just what's the bottom line, because things came with such clarity. There's a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed, where there's a fascinating conversation between David and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where David was trying to negotiate when he's going to die. Imagine having that conversation. When are you going to die? So David had, he was able to have such a conversation. Now, he didn't go anywhere with it, but he was able to talk about this. So the, I'll say as an aside here, just as a side topic, because it was related to, you know, Parshas Vayechi yesterday. The David HaMelech lived for 70 years. So who knows, where did David get those 70 years from? Adam was supposed to live to 1,000 years, and he lived to 930 years. So the 70 extra years he gave to David HaMelech. But according to the Zohar, there's another source where David got his 70 years from. All the Avos were supposed to live to the age of their father. So Avram lived to 175, and Yitzchak lived to 180. So Yitzchak surpassed his father. Yaakov lived to 147, 33 years younger than his father. That's 33. Yosef, also last week's, yesterday's parsha, lived to what age? 110. 37 years younger than his father Yaakov. 33 plus 37 is 70. So the Zohar says that David HaMelech got his 70 years from the Avos. So is it from the Avos or is it from the Adam HaRishon? And the answer is that David HaMelech lived two lives. Right? David HaMelech didn't sleep much. Those who start Daf Yomi this cycle, he didn't sleep. He woke up in the middle of the night, chatzos, a little bit here maybe. So he lived by Yom, he lived by Laila. So he had 70 years during the daytime and 70 years during the lifetime. There's actually a fascinating Chassam Sofer in Parshas Chayisara, which says that Sara also, Vatakam Bo Laila, is a reference to, in Eish Yishchal, reference to Sara Yimeinu. Vatakam Bo Laila, that Sara didn't sleep. She was up by Yom and by Laila. She lived two lives as well. So that's what it says, Shnei Chayisara, Shnei, the Chassam Sofer says, Shnei is also two. It means literally Shnei, the years of Chayisara, but it also means 2 years. She lived two lives. So either way, when David was finishing off his 70th year, finishing off his life, he was negotiating with the Kadosh Baruch Hu when he's going to die. So he says to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Sheolam, tell me my time, when's my time up? And he says, I can't tell anyone when you're going to die. I can't give a person an age. I'm not allowed to tell you. That's my rule. So then David said, okay, let me negotiate with you which day of the week. So he says, okay, you'll die on Shabbos. So he says, he wants to die on a Sunday. I want to die on a Sunday, because to die on Shabbos, and then it gets confusing, it can't bury me, I'm waiting out for a few hours to get buried, let me die on a Sunday. Hashem says, you can't, because the moment your son Shlomo Melch's time to come is here, I can't push it off a day. Whenever it's a time for the new Malchus, I can't push off Shlomo another day. Ein Malchus no gas b'chaverta. So he said, let me die Erev Shabbos. I'll give you a day of my life so I could be buried in the proper kavod. I don't want to die in Shabbos. So I'll die a day earlier. So what does the Gemara say in Shabbos? Tov li yom echad she'ata yoshev ve'osek b'torah. One day of your learning, David HaMelech, is greater me'elef olos from the 1,000 karbanos she'osed Shlomo bincha l'hakriv l'fanai agavim mizbeach. I value your limud Torah, your esek b'Torah, more so than the karbanos of Shlomo HaMelech. Now, Rabbi Kveger there writes on the side, if you take a look at the Yushalmi is a different girsa of this conversation. When David HaMelech suggested dying on Erev Shabbos, the Yushalmi says, Chaviv and alai mishpat utstaka sha'ata osa yoser mikarbanos. I appreciate the tztaka you do, the mishpat you do, more than all the karbanos that Shlomo HaMelech is going to bring. What about the Esek HaTorah? David learned all day, all night. Why doesn't Yushalmi mention the Osek HaTorah? And the answer is because in some way the Yushalmi didn't value as much the Esek HaTorah, the Amelis HaTorah, as the Bavli did. And this is a theme you have throughout. So I'll share with you one more Mar Makom, a fascinating Gemara as well, to this point. There is a Gemara in Chagiga, which has an interesting question with regards to how many wings a Malach has. So there's one pasuk that says a Malach has 6 wings, and there's another pasuk that says a Malach has 4 wings. So what's the difference? So the Gemara answers, one's Bizman HaMikdash, one's Shlo Bizman HaMikdash. Bizman HaMikdash Kayim, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, the Malachim are full, they're complete, they have 6 wings. And when the Beis HaMikdash is no longer, it's destroyed, like nowadays, there are only 4 wings. So what's the significance of the 4 wings and the 6 wings? So the Gemara writes, the reference to the Shishay Sidrei Mishnah. It says that Bizman HaMikdash Kayim, there's 6 Siddarim that are irrelevant. Bizman Churban Beis HaMikdash, there are only 4 Siddarim that are relevant. So which 6, which 4? So 6, we know the 6, but Bizman Churban, which 4 are relevant? So there's a Gemara in Bava Metzia which says as follows. That there was a question that was posed to Eliyahu Navi. At one time, Rabba Bar Avua had a certain question about Inyanim of Tzedakah, and he was standing in a Beis Kvaros, of a Goyisha Beis Kvaros, a non-Jewish cemetery. And Eliyahu Navi shows up, he appears to him. So Rabba Bar Chana asked the question about the Tzedakah, and he gave him his answer. So then the Gemara says, this is again in Bava Metzia, Kuf Yudal Amun Aleph on Tamun Beis. So Rabbi Bar Avua asks Eliyahu, "My time a ka imar be Beis HaKvaros. Why are you standing in a Beis HaKvaros? What's the shaila?" Eliyahu Navi is a Kohen. So how could he be standing in a Beis HaKvaros? It's Tameh. So there's an interesting tosis down here to that point. There's a Radbaz also that really the Eliyahu Navi wasn't a Kohen. He came from Pinchas. Abba says he had the neshama of Pinchas, but didn't have the body of Pinchas, so he wasn't really a Kohen. But Pashup Shad was, he's a Kohen. Now the Tosas here asks the question, him being a Kohen, if he's a Kohen, how was he able to revive the Bunash El Amana? So he says, because since he knew he was going to bring him back to life, it's Pekuach Nefesh, he was allowed to step into the room of the child who died. So we assume that Eliyahu Navi was a Kohen, and he can't be Matame Tumas Meis. So it's a good question. So what was he doing in the Beis Kvaros? So the Gemara says, Amrlei lomasi mar taros. See, Eliyahu says to Rabba Bar Avua, you didn't learn taros? Didn't you learn to say taros? The Mishnah is there? And this is not one of us. It's like, this is a chash of Amorah. What does the teach us in taros? That Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer, kivreyam shel ovdei kochavim ein metamin. The kever of a goy is ametame. The pasuk says, "V'atein sonit son merasi adam atem kurem adam ve'ina ovdei kacham kurem adam." Only man, Adam, ben Yisrael is chayiv are metame tumas meis, but not a goy. So I'm allowed to be here. It's a base kvaros of an akum. So then Eliyahu pushed him further. Amalei barba lo matzina b'shisa matzina. Rabbi Bar Avua says, "What do you want from me? I can't learn to 4 siddarim, let alone 6 siddarim. I need to make a parnasa. I need to support a family. I can't learn through all 6. I can't even learn through 4 of them." So Amrlei says, "Am I? Why not? What's the big deal?" Eliyahu didn't understand what was troubling him. So Amrlei, "Dechiki li milsa. I need to support a family. Dechiki is very tight for money. How do I learn and work at the same time?" So the Gemara ends off fascinatingly. Dabrei v'ayle le Gan Eden. Eliyahu said something. I know. he said that abracadabra, I wasn't sure recently, in abracadabra comes from abra, and abra de bara, that through words, you could, kadibra, you could create something, abra, kadibra, abra, you could create something through a dibur. That's where abracadabra apparently comes from. I don't know if it's sure or not, but that's what they say. So he said something, and he led him into Gan Eden, the Gemara says. So there, Rabbi Bar Avuha is in Gan Eden. So what's he doing in Gan Eden? So Amarlei, Pasha Glimech, Eliyahu says, "Nu, open up your shirt and stop it to start collecting fruit. This is like valuable fruit. You're going to make a lot of money, and you'll be able to learn all you want." So he begins like collecting all the fruit, the Gemara says. And then he heard a voice, Ki Hava Nafik. He's about to exit with all the fruit like in his shirt, and he heard, "Man ka'achil alma." Rabbi Bar Avuha, who's taking all the fruit, all the schar, Rabbi Bar Avuha? He got scared, he got startled. He dumped out all the fruit and he ran. Pihachi still, his shirt had some nice fragrance and he was able to squeeze out the fragrance from Gan Eden and he sold it for a nice sum of money. And he gave it very nicely to his sons-in-laws. To support, he didn't take it for himself, he gave it to his sons-in-laws. This is the Gemara. So now, back to the beginning. Which four siddharim, which six siddharim we're referring to in the Gemara? So the Rashi writes, well, we have four meset, we have four Gemaras. We have four siddharim of Gemaras in Babel. We have Gemara on Moed, Gemara in Nezikin, Gemara in Nashim, which is the fourth one we have in Babel? Kachim. Brachim and Zeram doesn't really count. It's only one mesechta. So we have four, again, Moed, Nezikin, Nashim, and then we have Kachim. The Yushalmi also has Moed, has Nezikin, has Nashin, which is the fourth one in the Yushalmi? Zeraim. So what's the difference between the Yushalmi and the Bavli? So Rashi explains. Rashi says the reason the four in the Yushalmi is because they're relevant. What's Halach L'maisa? In Eretz Yisrael, certainly Moed, Nezikin, and Nashin, those three are relevant. Bein Be'aretz, Bein B'chutz La'aretz. Zeraim is also relevant Bezman Hazeh. In Eretz Yisrael. So those are the four. So what's the kasha? Kachim. So kachim is certainly not relevant in Bavel. It's more relevant, if any, in Eretz Yisrael when it will be the time to base the Mikdash. So why does the Bavli have the kachim and not Yushalm? So Rashi says there's a Gemara at the very end of Menachos, the last daf of Menachos. And the Gemara says, Eilu Talmidei Chachamim. Ha'oskim behilchas avoda b'chamakom. Whenever Talmud Chacham learns hilchas avoda, which is kachim, ma le'aleim ha'kosev, it's considered as if ke'ilu makrivim el'osam be'beis ha'mikdash. The Bavli understands that when a person's osik b'torah, when he's amel in kachim, it's as if he's actually being makriv the karbanos. So it's halach l'maisa b'zman hazeh in chutz la'aretz here in Boca. It's relevant. It's halach l'maisa to learn kachim. Because when you're Osek B'Kachim, it's Kilo Hikriv Kachim. What about the Yushalmi? There is no such statement in the Yushalmi. There is no such statement in the Yushalmi that would call out Osek B'Torah B'Karbanos Kilo Hikriv. Why not? Because according to the Yushalmi, the Osek B'Torah, Ameis B'Torah is irrelevant. The pilpul doesn't exist in Yushalmi. Yushalmi is all about Halach L'maisa. What's the bottom line? So you're learning about kachim. Great, we can't bring the kachim, so it's not relevant. So that's why the Bavli has kachim and not the Yushalmi, because the Bavli is all about Amelis Batara, all about the Asik Batara. And this is what the Rizal writes actually in this week's Parsha Shemos. It talks about the Avodas Perach in Mitzrayim by Marus Chayim when their lives were very bitter. And they were building Bechomer Bilvanim. What's Chomer Bilvanim? It says the Arizal. Chomer is Lashon Kal V'Chomer. The Dafka Kal V'Chomer, he says. Kal V'Chomer is one of the 13 Midos She'ator Nidresh Behem. It's unique. In that you and I can make our own Kal V'Chomers. By Gzer Shava, Ein Adam Don Gzer Shava Me'atma. We cannot create our own Gzer Shavas. So it has to be a Mesorah. A Kal V'Chomer gives us the ability, the independence, to make our own svaras, if it makes sense. It's our own chidushim. So the chomer and levenim is libun halacha, he writes, the clarity of halacha. So it's dafka and bava where the chomer, the kal v'chomer, the amelus, That's why we learn the Bavli. It shows you the power of Chachamim. It shows you the strength that we have, the ability that we have to accomplish. That's why we learn the Bavli. That's why we passing like the Bavli. And this really does set the, I hope, the tone for what we're going to be learning this week, because the whole theme is the Koch of Chachamim. The fact that the Torah could say 40 Malkos and the Chachamim say, knock it down one. The fact that they could be a Machlokes and say, Lo b'shamayim hi, it's up to us down here. The fact that Luchos Shnios are more Chashiv than Luchos Rishonos, that Etzbel Kim, but still Moshe Benus chiseling is more Chashiv, more Mechuba than the Luchos Rishonos, than Etzbel Kim. All these things point to the direction of the Koach of Chacham, that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the Tamidei Chachamim, the Sanhedrin, the Bezdin, to create things above and beyond. That's what the Bavli represents. So Mitzvah Hashem, this should be a beginning of a strong week of understanding this concept of Lo Sasser, how why we're going to see how those who are over in Divrei Chachamim Chai Misa, because it shows this is the greatest Nachas that Kadosh Baruch Hu has. When you put a Melis B'Torah, the Esik B'Torah, that's going to put you above and beyond. And that's why I think this Kol El Sochashis. Because I know in my own life personally, and others as well, that the greatest jumps in Limud Torah you're going to find is how you spend your free time. So some people have a week break, some have 4 weeks break. So what are you doing in that free time? So I understand the importance of free time and vacation is very important. But if you are able to, you have the mental strength to learn in those free times, those vacations, that's what puts you over. When you spend summers learning, we spend winter breaks learning, that amelus, and there are reasons why that works, but that amelus that you put in, even though it's like a time of choshech right now, right? It's darkness now. Yeshiva's over, there's no shir, it's choshech, but daf in the place of choshech where you're trying to add the or, the light, the Torah, that's what's going to bring the greatest amount. One Hezber is, Rav Chaim Vilajin explains the Indian of time zones. Right, why don't we all have the sun? Kadosh Baruch Hu could have created the world flat. We could all see the sun at the same time and have Shachar at the same time and Maariv at the same time. Why is the world round where there's an Eastern time zone, a Central and Western and throughout the world, different time zones? So it explains because if the Torah isn't being learned at any time, the world will be destroyed. So when we're awake, learning, Eretz Yisrael, they're sleeping. But when we go to sleep tonight, they'll be learning Eretz Yisrael. And this is the way it works throughout the entire world. So there's a certain concept that if it's a certain time where no one is learning, let's say Purim, where everyone's busy partying, and you're learning, that means you're one learning, you are holding the world by yourself with your one finger. So the 20 of you here learning where the other few hundred are busy vacationing, that means your chelik is even greater. And that's why with that Siyata D'Shemaya, you're able to advance so much further. So Mirtz Hashem, this should be a week strong of learning. Vacation also, relax. I don't want you to be, too intense. But you should certainly take advantage of, appreciate what you're trying to accomplish this week, of learning strong and growing. So I'll stop here now in the Gemara. I want to just do one, Rabbi Shabtai asked if I could do 15 minutes in Machshava. I'll connect it to this, but it'll be a separate shir.